You just found the most entertaining Iowa podcast out there. It's the Michigan State Preview. And in walk-on fashion, we don't do a ton of talking about the game. We do get into some bigger conversations about Blue Bloods and how or what Iowa can expect each year to compete with the big dogs of the Big Ten, what a game week looks like practice-wise, and how to manage 100 snaps of defense from Saturday and a lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Back, gang. It's the Wash the Walk-Ons podcast, aka the Friendship Podcast, for any of you fucking bozos that thought you were going to come here and get that boring ass media shit. Week five, and we're coming off of an absolute ass beating. So we're going to figure out what kind of team that this ball club is made of here pretty shortly. So with no further ado, Michigan State preview on the Wash the Walk-Ons podcast will commence.
Gonna find out what the team's made of. We're gonna find out what this podcast is made out of tonight.
Because, is that right?
Well, your boy didn't really bring a lot. I'm trying to. What's Kevin saying in the private chat? This is interesting. I've got a few things, but we'll see where this goes. As the listeners know. They know we don't get into a bunch of the crazy details about matchups and stuff. I'm not sure that would even matter this week so much. Michigan State is a team that, I mean, quite frankly,
they're a mess, aren't they?
I don't think there's a program that could be in more disarray right now.
Hey, man, we've been there. Can't throw stones in that house.
Not throwing stones. I'm just stating the situation that they're in. I believe, and Grant probably knows more than me, but I think they officially fired Mel Tucker today.
That's what they was seeing.
Yeah. I saw that on Instagram today.
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe it was Discord.
Could have been.
Either way.
So Mel Tucker's officially out. He's been already on leave/suspended, whatever, for a week or 2 weeks at this point. And they are not a good football team.
No.
Grant, we did.
Aren't we favorites?
We are favorites.
Heavy favorites. I was just going to bring that up. Grant and I, we did the little segment that you guys will hear at the end of this podcast with Mitch, who was at the live event at Back Pocket before the first game of the year. He filled in for Jason this week as our Betfred representative. Shout out to Betfred for sponsoring the podcast. And we talked about the Iowa Michigan State line as our last thing. We'll get to the awards winners, of course. Started at 11 and a half, and I think it's up to 13, almost two touchdowns in some places.
Huge favorites. Jesus.
Started at 7.
Started at 7.
Moved all the way up to where it is now.
Okay.
Crazy so, job.
Wow.
So it's doubled.
So the people have spoken.
Yeah. Well, the people with big pockets have spoken. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff is interesting to me. Kevin says, follow the money. I said as much on that segment that you'll hear that it feels a little bit when it comes to, and Drake just cut out. So it's the G-Bone show. With Clube Dog for the next 10 or so minutes until Kevin gets home and Drake figures out his internet, which could be never. Grant, I said that I felt like this was a little bit like that Ohio-Iowa State situation where you come back home and people are a little bit down in the dumps on you. You got shit on the weekend before. It's a nice little comebacker game, if you will.
Oh, for sure. No, I would 100% say so. And I think it's well placed too. Like, I think setting up I don't think they scheduled it specifically for this reason, but like getting a night game, get the fans all energized after a really bad loss like that, is about as good as timing for it as possible.
Well, and I didn't even think about that. I did see whenever last week or so that this was, and I'm always curious on how that gets chosen.
Most of the time, it's like
what the network
Fox. Wants. Yeah, most of the time,
right? So they chose our game over other games, obviously.
Oh, really?
And
get shit on, Kluver.
there's an insinuation there past the obvious, but sure. The night environment in Kinnick certainly helps. Yeah.
Is that what time we're playing this game? Is it night?
It's a 6:30 game, I think.
Again?
I think so. Yeah.
This week? I thought it was
this week.
I thought it was afternoon.
No. Kevin says two night games in a row is great for getting used to day of schedule.
Yeah. Good point. We can rock into that here. So comebacker game, Michigan State's down, Iowa looking to bounce back. We've done it before, specifically in this exact scenario. We were a part of a game where we came back from a night whiteout beating in Happy Valley. We played a night game the following week. And granted, these two opponents are from the same state. They are not of the same caliber. 2016 Michigan was a much better football operation than the 2023 Michigan State Spartans.
They were better than us too. We just beat them that night. Like, let's just recall spades. That was a better football team than what we could line up on the field. We just beat them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the better team doesn't always win. That was a case of that night that we happened to
be on. Bro, I was trying to block Chris Wormley and Taco Charlton.
Two dogs.
Dogs.
Dogs. Taco Charlton. That guy was fucking huge.
He made me look so stupid the first time I tried to block him. Oh, my God. I looked stupid.
He was a D-end?
Yeah.
And long as hell, if I remember.
Long, brother.
And you're not exactly long.
I was built like a spark plug, dude. No, I was a pretty tall fullback. Bullshit. In cleats, I was 6'2". I was a tall fullback.
That's true. That's true. You weren't outreaching him by any means.
No.
But this has been done before. And the Hawks, again, are going to be up against a lesser task here. Not easy to win ball games, but the Kinnick edge certainly matters. Hopefully, Grant, you're correct. Hopefully the crowd, the fans, the students are into this.
Well, I think like they will be regardless. Like when the game starts, like you're gonna look around and be like, these are the same people who are like really angry on Twitter. Like that's what happens every week, especially in the night environment.
I mean. It is.
Oh, when God turns the light off in Kinnick, bro, it's that's like scary story territory, brother.
Yeah, it's all bad thoughts go bye bye. Like it's a total change. Like I think it's really perfect timing.
There is a magic in the air that.
What are you talking about? It's one of the most undeniable, but also unmeasurable magical factors that there is in all of sports, dude. Kinnick's night game factor is one of the realest in all of sports.
Yeah, I was just thinking about someone who was completely unaware of Iowa football, theoretically, right? And if they were to go and their first game of Iowa football they ever watched was our 2016 Penn State game at Happy Valley. And then they watched the next week us against Michigan. And they would just be like, what is going on? I'm so confused right now. And I think that you'd have a similar situation this week, potentially. I think this Iowa team, we'll see at the end of this podcast. I think I saw the line somewhere around 35, 36 on this game. Is that what it was?
Oh, the total?
Yeah, the total. So, you know, if you're looking at two touchdowns and you got it at 36, they're saying it's going to be like a 21, no, a 20,
36 and a half.
25 to 10 ball game, 27-10 ball game. That's obviously a lot more points than zero last week. So Could be an unrecognizable Iowa Hawkeye team. I think everybody wishes for that. Grant, from the fan perspective, I want to, you know, when we said a couple weeks ago, everybody sucks. Nobody's good.
Correct. Yeah. Everyone's bad.
So this is going to play a role as the Hawks chug down the tracks here. The schedule is favorable. It was favorable going into the season. It's still favorable. In fact, some could argue it looks more favorable than it did before any games were played. And I'm coming to you, Grant, because you're the resident fan on the podcast here.
Mm-hmm.
If Iowa runs the table, they go 11-1, 10-2. They mm-hmm. drop one to Wisconsin or somebody. You know,
that's a bad one to drop. We don't want to drop that one, dude.
It's probably the most droppable, though. On the
yeah. But pick another one to drop.
Okay, we drop one to, I don't know, Rutgers, and that quarterback come in and he's kind of dicey and he gets us somehow. And we go 10-2 from a fan perspective, from a student perspective. How do you view this year? How do you view this Iowa team? Because I think what I'm proposing is likely. 9-3 at the least. I still feel like 9 is the floor. I still feel like 9 is the floor on this team. And there's going to be people who are sitting there going nuts that I say that. That's just real. I don't know how you guys feel, but I think it's likely we win 9 or 10 ball games still. And people are going to be pissed like they were in 2021. Like, how do you feel about that, Grant?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it is I'd say in my personal opinion, how I view a lot of my teams is that like when I remember my teams, I have the memory of a goldfish, right? Like it's like if Iowa comes out this weekend and wins by 25 points, right?
Yeah.
They just the total domination.
35-10 Hawks.
Sunday morning I wake up and I'm like, I'm feeling pretty good. Like all of a sudden I'm like, hey, you know what? This team is – and like, hey, what's check out Indianapolis. Let's see what the hotels are looking like first weekend in December. But I think like as a whole,
they're not good. Let me tell you that, buddy.
Yeah, right. I've been to Indianapolis, but I.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I went in 2020.
Shout out you.
Yeah, I was there. I was there. Damn. For the
match. Why didn't you come to our tailgate and introduce yourself, and then we could have just started off right there, dude.
A year and a half earlier. Yeah.
But I think personally, I mean, it's a little, I think I view it a little differently than most fans view it. Like, the thing that matters to me most is winning. Like I'm not going to complain about a 10-2 season, right? Dude, but I understand the frustration too. If it's like you were 10-2, but it's like, dang, if we finished in the top 70 in offense, like that's a potentially like 12-0 playoff team. I understand the frustration there as well. Like personally, like I'm never going to complain about a 10-2 season. I'm just not. As like a college football fan, I understand that like for most teams, if you're invested in college football. Like there's only really like 15 teams that are like my team has a chance to win the national championship every single year. Right?
Less.
There's not even that many.
Yeah. So like I'm never going to complain about 10-2, 9-3. I'm just not going to complain.
So here's my feeling on that is the only way that I would feel frustrated if the Hawks get it back on track and win is if they continue to play like uninspired, just mistake football. If they're not making the improvements and they're just barely squeaking by bad teams, then I'd still be frustrated to see them underperform so badly and put everything on the defense. But I mean, winning is winning at the end of the day. Like we've played in a lot of games in our career where our offense played like shit and the defense, Kevin and the boys, and especially special teams helped us out too. There was a lot of games where the offense didn't do anything. It was defense, special teams, even in our career. So like, winning is winning at the end of the day, but I would really hope to see marked? I would hope to see marked improvement throughout the season because now they're not just practicing. They're 4 weeks in till the bullets flying and they just got their teeth kicked in. So if you don't go out and improve after that, that's where some frustration will really start to sink in to just feel like they just underwhelmed and underperformed.
Here's where I think it's tough for Iowa fans too, people in the Iowa ecosystem here, is it's really hard to judge, especially for those who don't get to watch the film and they just see it on TV copy one time, or they get to watch it in the stadium one time, and they're heavily influenced by just the result of the game, to be honest.
I think the stadium experience has got to be the best, because you get to see it from a bird's eye, and then you get to see replays on the board too.
Sure.
I think that probably gives you the best opportunity to see things.
But say the Hawks go in there and they do win 31-10 this weekend. It's tough to know if we improved, or did we just play somebody that wasn't ass, or that was ass, right? And they weren't Penn State, who, granted, that Penn State team, I think, has like two or three first rounders on it, legitimately.
Ike was really big up in their left tackle. He said he was a hell of a player.
Yeah, he's like a projected top five pick.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought Ike might have just steamed something.
Yeah, 74 is like a projected, like, $20 million signing bonus guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, like, what, like, in terms of, like, what fans want to see is, like, they do want to see that, like, 35-10 win.
They want exciting. Iowa fans right now, they want to see exciting. And yeah. Gary, where I was going with that is, and I'm surprised that, maybe not as surprised, because I like you, Gary, and I feel like we mesh, and that's why you do well on the show. But I think a lot of fans, dead ass, would rather go 8-4 and see us score 40 a game.
So here's what I think. It's like, yeah, 35-10 game would make fans happy, but I think what they want to see mostly is a, like, is 60 minutes of just dominating an inferior opponent. Like, they don't want to see, like, what we had against Western Michigan, where it's like, you know, a couple picks early, you know, they're scoring on us. It's like, it was like 10-7 at halftime, right? Like, they don't want to see that. They want to see, like, okay, this team's worse than us, and we dominated them from start to finish. And I don't think, personally, I don't think Kirk Ferentz is worried about, like, winning a game and like, oh, but did we do it the way the fans wanted us to do it? Like, I don't.
You're correct. He does not care. I don't think he
cares about that.
It's called style points, and yeah. He gives zero fucks about.
Yeah, which, like, I don't expect him to do that. Like I said, like, I just care, like, that we won that, or that we win this game. But that's like what people want to see.
Yeah,
but he does care the manner in which we win it, like playing good football, right?
Absolutely.
Like, right. At the end of the day, he's not like, oh, we won by 1 point, doesn't matter. It's like, if we play sloppy football, like, he's not happy about it by any means, right?
Right.
But I'm not, just because we don't run an offense that puts up 50 points a game, right? He still wants to see guys doing their assignments correctly.
Sure.
Winning the blocks, winning one-on-one matchups on a consistent basis, right?
Right. Right. I'm just saying that Kirk's never, I think you're I don't think you're ever, like, if you're a fan who wants exciting, like, I hate to break to you, but, like, I don't think Kirk Ferentz is ever going to go out there and be like, hey, let's go run the Statue of Liberty and get the fans juiced up. Like, he's just not going to do that.
Yeah. Like, you're talking to the, you know, like, when we scored with Max White on the end of that game or whatever, and people think we're doing it to run the score up. Like, let me promise you, that's not what they were doing. That's simply was not any of the intention or agenda there. Yeah, it's interesting to me. The
is Brian's, like, whatever point total thing kind of fucked now that we got zero balls in the game?
Didn't help.
85 through three games, and now 85 through four games. So we're sitting at 21
and a quarter.
I guess. See, there's still a lot of room to make up.
Which, by the way, I don't think we ever have really commented. Maybe we did. We did say sort of how weird and out of place that whole thing was. But what a fuck you from Barta on that one. I know he probably wasn't sitting there thinking about it, like, oh, this is going to become the biggest thing. One of the biggest stories of all of college football is following this. But it has, right? And it's every fucking broadcast brings it up. Every podcast that talks national football, every talk show, every the fucking Twitter content that comes out, the graphs and the fun pieces of visual things it has really made an already bad sort of, like, hey, we're it's a dire situation that we're trying to come up with more points for this offense. It made it five times worse. It made it so bad.
Yeah.
Like who, what are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Probably could be very, very thankful that he's gone at this point. Seems like I hope he's happy. I hope he's just kicking it somewhere on a beach. You know, I don't have anything against him personally, but there's some decisions there in the operational side of things that could be questioned.
Yeah.
It's an interesting back and forth. I really do think, and I realize in that hypothetical, if Iowa somehow does find a way to score 40 points, then they're likely not going 8-4. They're going to win like all of their games. But say that you could like just create that scenario. I think fans would choose it because of how lulled to sleep they've been by the offense.
Well, the thing is, and this is for like most people aren't tapped into, like, oh, I'm here to watch like the All-22 and stuff. And like, I want to see like certain concepts and stuff. Like ultimately they're just like, I just want to see my team win.
Yeah.
And like Kirk to most viewers, right? Like Kirk Ferentz style football, like no one complains about it when it works and you're winning and you're 12-0 in 2015. Like everyone's awesome, right? But when it results in a loss, people complain more than like, I don't know, like Lane Kiffin style football, where like throwing it all craziness in a loss, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. The negativity is much more severe after a loss than the positivity after a win.
Yes. Yeah. That's a much better way of putting it, Kevin.
Yeah.
But I just want wins. Like I don't care how it happens. Like that's what I've always said. Like 3-2, you want a fine with me. I don't care.
And I'm in the same boat, Grant. I've said on this podcast before, if Iowa won every game 3-0 with a field goal and went on to become national champions, cool.
Like be sick just shutting out everyone we played.
That'd be an unbelievable insane. It would be insane, first of all. But yeah,
like I don't think 11 first rounders on the same defense could even do it.
No, because offenses are going to have turnover touchdowns.
Yeah, you're just not. Yeah,
sure.
Special teams and stuff like that. Want to take a quick second to recognize one of our favorite sponsors and partners of this show, AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. We've talked about their custom web stores and how they can make you money with fundraising or your own custom line of t-shirts or work uniforms for your team. But we also want to highlight Hawkadelic, which is AdCraft's premium Iowa Hawkeye merch line. They've been licensed with the University of Iowa for 20 plus years and decorate all items right here in Iowa. Homegrown business, baby. Hawkadelic features vintage-inspired Hawkeye designs with modern styles, including a variety of Hawkeye sports, A&F gear, Beat State gear, exclusive shirt of the month every month, and of course, the Wash Up Walk-Ons gear. The Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners get 15% off their entire order, 15%, by using the code HBAM15, that's HBAM15, at checkout. Go snag some of the cool Hawkadelic merch today. Pick up my favorite personal item, the We Own Ames tee. Great design there. Simple, succinct, to the point, and true. Again, Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners get 15% off their entire order by using code HBAM15 at checkout at hawkadelic.com. That's HAWKADELIC.com. Kevin, how did you... We've talked about the 24-hour rule on wins and losses before. How do you feel like you did with that personally?
I don't know if it was always 24 hours, like depending on when the game was. So like say we had played an 11 o'clock game, it was more like you just carried it through Sunday. And then once Monday morning came around, you didn't really even have time to think about or dwell on the last game. You're already back into game week mode. And, you know, Iowa's schedule was like Monday morning, early morning lift, special teams meetings, position meetings, practice.
Yeah,
and it's like you're into classes. There's literally just no time to think about the last
right.
Or you're just at this point in the season, it's just like you are in a routine and it's just bang, bang, bang. Next thing, next thing, next thing. You should be in a well-oiled routine by this point, right?
Yeah, we were so jam-packed schedule-wise that you just like you did not have time to think about it. Drake, how about you? I know that. Your trigger is a little bit more, you're a little more hot and cold. There's some fluctuations there in the emotion, but did you feel like you, like if this was us, or we take yourself back to when we did get our asses whipped and we're in that Michigan week, like, were you pretty good personally at moving on?
I'm still pissed about losing to North Dakota State.
Okay. I'm curious. Cause like you're a guy that wears the emotions.
That's the one that dwells on you. Out of any game that we lost, that's the one.
Well, no. But that one hurt. Like, I'm not pissed about losing to Penn State in 2017 or losing the Big Ten title. I'm heartbroken about those ones.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I'm pissed that North Dakota State came into Kinnick and beat us.
Embarrassed us, yeah.
All right. I feel that.
I was from afar observing the media days, Cade in front of the podium, other guys talking, stuff like that. And I, like, it's pretty rough right now. Like, the guys are in a tough, like, that's tough to be one of the guys. And this is sort of a funny spot in the podcast where I can't really ask you two about getting up on the podium then, you know, the next week after a loss like this and being like the media star kind of guy. We'd have to bring somebody on for that. Josie, maybe.
I had 2 days of media my entire 5 years. It was awesome.
Yep. You thought you were going to make it your whole career, Kev.
Yeah, fucking Josie had to go get hurt and had to play a game, and then that fucked everything up.
Yeah. Yeah, if LeVar doesn't call Polcat, I would have stayed clean. I don't – these guys are some of these questions, man. I kind of wish Drake was still playing, but he took the governor off. Because nowadays, I like, even since we've graduated, social media just is, it gets so spicy and people repurpose stuff and clip stuff. And man, Drake would be a fucking phenom right now on the mic. If that's probably true. Yeah, you'd
because
be
my senior year, they like to interview me a lot, dude, which is how I got myself in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they just kept putting mics in my face. And if you put a mic in my face too many times, I'm going to say something. I'm not capable of not being stupid for that long. It's just not possible.
Kev, somebody in the Discord keyed in on our conversation that you kind of brought up with the defense playing 100 plays and being worn to pieces on Saturday. Could you talk about the practice load management, how that would actually affect the guy's legs, if as a fan you would actually think that, like, oh, this is going to affect them a week later, or should they be good by then? What does practice look like, if any, differently this week to help that? Anything on that?
Yeah, so on the positive side of things, we're still early in the season, right? We're four games in, so you're not cumulatively like really hurting at this point in the season.
Like week nine when you're just,
dude, yeah, week like 8 through 12, it's just like, I don't know how I'm still walking. But no, I would strongly consider, if I were Kirk and Phil and those guys, and like cutting reps early in the week, like Monday and Tuesday practices, especially for the ones, I would consider cutting reps, because 97
low and slow, man. Like a brisket, baby.
Nah, like, man, you still got to kind of be at the pace you need to be. I feel like, I think you just maybe just have
the reps down.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, keep the reps that you do high intensity, but bring that volume down. Right. It's kind of like training, like lifting.
Now, remind me, man, because I can't remember right off the top of my head. Do we usually do individual on Mondays? Mondays during the season, Drake, do you remember?
I'm pretty sure there was always individual.
Felt like there was Indy.
I feel like they never gave us a day off, Indy. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, anyway, that'd be something I could consider cutting.
Would you cut the Indy for the – or just have those starters sit out?
I remember they used to cut the Indy on the back half of a two-a-day, and I loved it so much.
Kids these days don't even know what the two-a-day means.
Seriously, though. No, man, especially like Monday, Tuesday. Like Monday morning, practice is at like what? What time are we out in the field? 7 a.m. after meetings?
7:45.
It's early.
Yeah. that's 36 hours after you got done playing.
Yeah.
So
what in a full practice, like a team, like team periods, give me a rough estimate of like what you would, would you hold them out of like 30% of what they'd normally do? Give them like a 60 or 70% load, give them one or two reps instead of four.
In a set. I don't know, for like a Monday, for a Monday practice,
put them in shells. I think they're
I don't know about a 30% reduction this early in the year. But yeah, I mean, Monday was always our shells day, right?
Yeah, right.
So, Kev Dog, you're telling me that on a Monday where you guys cover a lot of goal line, short yardage and all that shit, you guys couldn't do that at a more of a walkthrough, jog through tempo and get the same mental reps out of it?
So Monday being shells, I'm not actually that worried about the linemen and the linebackers so much. It's more so the DBs, maybe a little bit of the linebackers. And DeMarco talked about this too on his podcast. It's the high speed distance guys. Those are the guys you're mostly worried about. Cause on a shells practice, like the D line and the linebackers, they can fit their blocks. You're not taking like big hits. But it's the same thing for a DB as it is in the games. Like you're running fast and you're running a long distance. Those are the guys you'd be mostly concerned about as far as maybe a soft tissue injury popping up or something like that, or just preserving their legs.
For those listening, shells is, they're like fake pads. They're not, I don't know how to explain them. They're like a piece of foam that you put over your shoulders. Yeah,
it's the same. It's the same shirts that is Nike Pro Combat. It's like what every high school kid put under their shoulder pads.
But the linemen wear like those, the foam things. And then
I guess, yeah,
I mean, there was a time where the shells, the shirts, they didn't count them as shells. And we had to go back in and grab the actual shell that they gave us. That was earlier in our career. But it's either a padded shirt or some fake pads. That means you're not hitting each other. You're going like 75, 80%. Granted, there were still people who would hit each other. But,
Naturally. But yeah, it's something that the coaches, I'm sure, are aware of, and the strength staff who has all that GPS information is aware of. And, you know, they take the recovery data on all the guys and see where they're at for that. And
I was just going to say the iFleet scores, you got to look at those.
I don't think they do iFleet anymore. I think they do something else.
Well, yeah,
they got the boys took a couple extra scoops of food this week. The defensive boys
got to
really get those calories back in you.
Yeah, some of the offensive guys should have given them half of if they got Chick-fil-A back, they should have given them all their crispy.
Fucking right. Them offensive guys better have been handing over the crispies.
That's facts only.
I mean, but for real though, you just think about the calories burned difference between an offensive guy and a defensive guy on Saturday.
It is unfathomable.
Higgins burned 40,000 calories on Saturday night.
It's legitimately probably a 1,500 to 2,000 calorie difference, right?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'd say the big boys, linebackers, all of them. I'd say active calories they burned on that in that football game. The defense was probably 2,000, maybe 3,000
for the big guys. Maybe
And then on the offensive side, they might have burned.
I'll bet it was 3,000.
They might have burned 800 or 1,000 calories. I mean, they played 28 plays.
I doubt it's even that much, man.
Maybe not even that much.
It's 28 plays, but it was also three plays and out.
And then
sustained jet heart rate.
You're right. You're right. And that's just active calories during the game for those listening. That's on top of their BMR. So they're probably, defensive guys were probably burning like 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 calories that night, which is kind of a crazy thing to think about. When did your body start to feel good during the week, Drake?
They really took care of me my senior year, man. My junior year, I don't really remember.
Well, you have to sift through the Perkadoodle shield as well.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That doesn't count. When did your body start to naturally feel like ready to play a game again?
I never wanted to practice on Tuesday. Wednesday practice was okay, so I would say Wednesday.
Okay.
I just simply did not want to practice on Tuesdays, especially in shoulder pads. That always pissed me off because my neck was still hurting and my shoulders are usually still hurting.
Tuesdays were tough.
So, but Wednesday, I think I usually felt pretty good. And knowing we had the off day on Thursday was like an extra energizer.
How good did those Thursdays feel, dude?
When KF called the huddle up on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. Everything was okay. Once he called the huddle up on Wednesday.
Oh, man.
All was right with the world.
It was, because you knew all you had left was a fast Friday and game day. And you're like,
you had the most fun practice you could possibly have, dude. I loved fast Friday so much, bro.
Yeah.
You wake up, you're the happiest you could be, go straight to Starbucks, pumpkin spice latte, because it's pumpkin spice latte Fridays. Come into the complex, get my treatment done, drinking my latte, eat some breakfast, go to I guess we had that little shakeout deal, but then go to meetings, I guess, meetings that didn't really happen. Yeah. And then Fast Friday is just, that's just balling with the boys.
Thursday through Saturday felt professional. It felt like you were like a pro athlete.
Thursday, the day off during the season when you have like no time between classes and practice and games and travel, but the Thursday off day where you are off, it felt like a week-long vacation.
It was unbelievably long.
It was unbelievable.
And Kev, you know what else went down on Thursdays?
Pizza review. Oh, Thursday,
goddamn
maybe.
Pizza review. And I'll tell you what, Nico, you son of a bitch. Your capital.
He's giving out soft scores there, though, man.
Soft on the score, and you're capitalizing. You're running because we walked, Nico. I just want to let you know that. We established the pizza review.
But damn, also, his last name is Ragaini.
I know.
So
he should be reviewing pastas. Right,
well, he's got to go review the $5 pizza place and tell us what he thinks.
That was a decent $5 pizza, let me tell you what.
That was actually a great $5
pizza. $5 pizza? Talk to Ike about that one. He'll tell you all you need to know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ike, by the way.
I'm going to turn off my camera because my bandwidth is shit.
Okay. Shout out to Ike, by the way. The boy is traded to Indianapolis, or picked up by Indianapolis. Goes from P squad to active roster within like 10 days. And he's pretty confident that he might see a little playing time action here the rest of the season. So shout out to Girth.
Shout out to the boys.
In Indianapolis.
Shout out.
Speaking of Indianapolis, let's go back to this. Let's just go back to this hypothetical here.
So funny thing though, by the way, I saw someone put up the odds for the Big Ten West right now. It's like Wisconsin plus 125. Iowa's like 175.
Yeah.
I think the next is like Minnesota at 3,000.
I thought it was like 1,400, but yeah.
It's a huge jump though.
Massive. Massive. Everybody's bad.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Everyone's worse than we thought they would be too.
Yeah.
So everyone, here's top to bottom. Is there anyone in the West who is doing better than we thought? Maybe Northwestern. They beat Minnesota.
Northwestern is.
I would say
Northwestern's better.
I would say after this weekend, Northwestern might be a point or two higher than you might have suspected after they lost a legendary staple coach of their program, and you know they all, you know, they were in the shower.
You were asking if Northwestern was going to win a game.
I didn't know.
They're undefeated in conference play.
Well, let's chill at the end of undefeated.
They lost to Indiana. They lost to Indiana.
They lost to Rutgers.
Rutgers, my bad.
So I want to go back to this, and I want to say I want to jump to a bigger question here, and this is really asking a lot of Kevin and Drake, but I'm going to try and draw it out of them because I know Gary, you would give plenty of opinions on this. As it sits right now in the Big Ten, there are three programs that are clearly ahead of the rest. We all know who those are. It's Michigan, it's Ohio State, and it's Penn State. They are the Blue Bloods. They are the ones who get top five, top 10 recruiting classes year in, year out. They are the ones who get five stars. They are the ones who have been established. They are Even when they have bad years, Penn State, that 2020 year when they had a bunch of injuries and COVID transfers and weird shit happen.
2020.
they bounce back and they are able to compete at the top of the country basically majority of years. They run the Big Ten. They're all in the East. And the East and the West is going away. We're adding teams, by the way, that are also in that discussion. Oregon, potentially a playoff team this year. USC, great team. Washington, great team. Yeah. This conversation of, hey, we go 11-1 and people are still going to be pissed is based on it's based on one thing. And it's the fact that as Iowa fans, we've ascended to a point where we do not give a fuck. I'm going to even compare us to Nebraska Pelini era. We don't give a fuck if we can win 9 or 10 games a year and beat all the other teams. We only give a shit if we compete for a conference championship and we can compete with those three big dogs. That's where we're at. Fans are either not, we're either competing with those teams or we're not happy. We don't give a shit. You know, Wisconsin, beating Wisconsin, that'll make us happy. Beating Minnesota, it's good for the night, you know? But in the end, if we go 11-1 this year, but we got embarrassed at Penn State, the only game versus a ranked team on our schedule, Iowa fans will not be happy. And I really, this is more like big picture philosophical. I struggle to see a way where a program can elevate itself into that space if they're not already there. I don't know if Iowa can be that program that adds to, or Wisconsin. I don't know if they can be that program. And I don't love the idea that those universities are just set in the sport of football. And it, you know, Alabama, USC, Oklahoma, Florida, all of these schools that are the blue bloods and are the standard, like these are the good schools, are always going to be the good schools. And there's no room for movement. But man, fans seem to think it's easier than it is to just ascend our program into that level. And I don't know if you guys have thoughts on this, but man, it's really tough. Like, there's so many factors that play into that shit. And if you only care about that, if that's what you ascend to as a program where you're like, it's either we compete with the blue bloods or it's nothing, that leaves you disappointed a lot of years when you go 9-3, 10-2. It's just like, I don't know, man. Do you guys get what I'm kind of getting at?
I understand what you're getting at. I think you got to look at what does it take to be a quote unquote blue blood, a powerhouse school year in, year out. All the schools that kind of fit that list, maybe there's 8 of them in the country, right?
Maybe 8 or 10, maybe.
Have tremendous financial backing behind them.
Yep.
They are in prime recruiting grounds.
Yep.
And for the most part, have had tremendous stability in the head coaching position.
Yes.
So you think about Ohio State, Penn State, Alabama, those types of schools, you know, have had obviously a lot of financial backing behind them, right?
Yeah.
They have the resources they need to succeed. They are in prime recruiting grounds to get the best talent in the country. And if the talent isn't around them, they have the brand to go get them from across the country. And then you look at the head coaching position. Penn State, you had you've got James Franklin, and then you had Joe Pa for 40 years behind. Nick Saban's been at Alabama for 15 years now.
Long time.
Something like that. And then Ohio State, you had Jim Tressel,
Urban
Meyer,
now
Ryan Day, which over the course of 25 years, that's
pretty good.
It's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm. The other two had some decent success as well. So,
yeah, exactly. Right. So basically what I'm getting at is if you have a really good head coach who's going to be there for a long time, who has a system for winning and has all the resources behind it, then as long as you don't fuck it up, you should succeed on a year-to-year basis, right?
Yeah.
You feeling me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Programs that don't have the other two, like you can have a really good head coach,
Iowa.
Maybe you don't have the financial support to have the facilities, Iowa. All the cool stuff that recruits.
Oh, we have good
support. Or in this day and age, you don't have the NIL money.
Sure.
And you can be good when you get just like the right guys at the right time, and you can be good every 3 years, like really, really good.
Iowa.
Right. Or maybe you're just not in the right recruiting grounds. Like maybe no one wants to go play out in Montana, right? I don't know.
Tough to bring kids
you're like in a small recruiting ground and you have to go get players from elsewhere from 5 hours, 8 hours, flights away. A lot of kids don't want to go that far away from home, right?
No.
It's different now than it was 30 years ago. But now, still, it's like, personally, I did not want to go further than 5 hours away from home that much.
Nope. I had offers. I chose Iowa because it was close.
Yeah, and it was, sure. And it's always going to be easier to recruit your in-state, right?
Yeah.
Because those kids grew up watching that program, wanted to play for that program, that coach, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have those three things, if you're not succeeding, then it's on the internal side that you're not succeeding because you don't have the right culture, you don't have the right players, or you're not recruiting the right players, and you're not developing them well. Yeah. You don't have the best scheme, all that stuff. That's if you have the other two things, but you're not succeeding, then look at the head coach. Look at what's happening there.
Now
to your question, can Iowa ever be one of those that has all three? I think the money is good. I don't think it's as good as the top 10 in the country. Good. Obviously, the coaching situation and the athletic department's as stable as you could possibly find.
Yep.
It's always been recruiting, right? When have we ever gotten top 20 recruiting classes?
I just don't think you're going to. I don't think you're going to bring kids to Iowa City.
Unless you jack up the money invested. Which this is something you can do in this day and age, right? Yeah, so you can just go out there and pummel a shit ton of money from donors into the NIL collective, and you can go get some of the best players in the country.
Drink that Swarm, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Drink Swarm beer.
Kev, this dives us into like this end game of this conversation where.
But can you do that year after year, right?
What is the expectation then? What should you as an Iowa? Us as former Iowa players and now Iowa fans and the rest of the Iowa fan base, what can we be happy with? Is there something that we can feel good about being happy with results wise against these top tier programs that isn't we need to be able to compete every single year? Because I agree with you, kind of the path you just walked us down is like realistically, there's going to be some years in there where we probably won't be able to compete with them. And
yeah, sometimes the personnel on the field just ain't there that year, right?
And right now we're in one of those years. But
to kind of what the complaint's point is, yes, you're always trying to win the championship. You're always trying to win every single game, right? You're never happy with 8-4, right?
Correct.
But sometimes 8-4 is really good for what you had that year.
And maybe that's where the disconnect is because fans are always going to feel like we had more. Or they don't have a good grip on exactly what we have. I don't know.
Now, and to your point, this year, like you said, you think the floor is 9 games.
Yeah.
It might be 8 because maybe 8. The offense is not as good as we expected. We expected a big jump from last year with the offense. We haven't seen it yet. It might be 8 games, and I think 8 games would be underperforming for this team. Right?
I would agree.
Like against this schedule too. You have to look at what do you have on the field versus what are you playing against?
Yep.
And I think that you, as a fan, you could reasonably expect 9-3 and anything less than 9-3 is a bad year, barring any bad injuries, right?
I agree.
We had one catastrophic injury already.
That was tough.
Fuck.
But I think, 10-2, 11-1, I think you should be happy as a fan, right? Especially if you go back to Indianapolis, you should always be happy about winning the West, right?
There's people who are not – there's people
Dude, who you are, won the West.
There's, I'm telling you, too, right now, there's people this year as Iowa fans who are going to hope we don't make it to Indianapolis because just for the sole reason that who gives a shit if we won the West against these bad teams, we don't want to go and get beat. Again,
I mean, so you don't want the chance to win the Big Ten championship because, like you guys said earlier, the best team doesn't always win. Sometimes shit just happens, right?
And I'm on your side here. I don't care if we squeak in by
– you can't win the game if you're not in the game.
That's, yeah. I mean
– how are you hating from outside the club? You can't even get in.
You can't – one of my favorite lines in the song, man. So interesting conversation. Maybe some deeper stuff there. By the way, I searched Blue Bloods. They named eight teams. Penn State actually is one of those who's just on the edge of blue bloodness.
Well, if it's like total college football history, then like Penn State's probably not at the top.
Yeah, so
blue,
they named
like true blue blood.
Yeah,
so they named Oklahoma, Nebraska, Texas, USC. So
going back to like my point, Nebraska probably used to be one.
Yeah,
and then in the last 10 years, they've had head coach troubles.
Yep.
And guess what? It's a national recruiting game now, and Lincoln, yes, Nebraska ain't exactly got 50 guys for you to play with.
Right. They named Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Michigan, USC, Texas as the eight blue bloods. Just outside of that, Georgia, Penn State, LSU, FSU, Florida.
And yeah, so I'd agree. If any of those eight schools are not performing at a very high level year in, year out, then it's got you got to look internally, right?
I think you got to put LSU on that list too, because at this point they won't accept anything else.
Oh yeah,
but the LSU, I mean, you'll find them; they'll go 5-7 in a random year, and it's like, what the fuck happened here?
But you then know, they
like,
fire Coach O by week five.
Yeah,
yeah.
After he won a national championship 18 months before,
I know it's nuts.
It's nuts. Again, it's like, okay, we had a national championship roster 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What did you do to fuck it up to a 500 ball team?
True.
In 2 years, right?
True.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how good Coach O actually was at his job. Maybe he just had guys that couldn't fucking lose no matter who's
coming. I mean, maybe you had Joe Burrow thrown to Ja'Marr Chase. Like, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
And Justin Jefferson.
That helped. That certainly helped.
Dude, they had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase on the same offense getting thrown to by Joseph Burrow.
Yeah.
Was Mel Tucker ever a $100 million coach? Fuck no.
No. Now he's a zero.
Kenneth Walker helped him win 9 games that year. Basically won him 9 games that year. I don't forget how much. I think they went 9-3 that year or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that was a good conversation. Something to chew on.
Did we get any information about what we expect out of our game this week or no?
We talked about, I think we mentioned that the game was against Michigan State, and that was pretty much
that was about it. You got any thoughts on it, Drake? What do you think is going to happen?
I hope Vegas knows what the fuck they're talking about.
Michigan State's a bad football team. We should win by 2 touchdowns. If not, we have
I like that.
Yeah, I'm expecting for Iowa to go out there and win by multiple touchdowns. I like to buy before every season the Athlon Summer Preview magazine. Covers every college football team, and I look at it before each game for Iowa's opponent. I'm looking at Michigan State here. Their cover athlete for Michigan State isn't even on the team anymore. He's the best player on Florida State's team right now. Their starting quarterback, who they mentioned in here, is Auburn's quarterback now. The current starting quarterback for Michigan State is on here. He's mentioned, but he's mentioned as hopefully Jonathan Kim will be able to steady the place-holding position. This is their starting quarterback. If Iowa doesn't go out there and dominate Michigan State with what I'm seeing here, I'm going to be very upset. And this is they with the information they had. Again, their cover athlete is arguably FSU's best player right now. Like, they project them at 6-6 with all this stuff, and then now their starting quarterback is the guy who they thought was going to improve the place holding position. Like Iowa, especially after the loss, Iowa has to like, and I know the players know this too. Like, they should be able to dominate this team, and I'm hoping they do.
I think
I don't think it'll be dominating like Penn State just dominated us, but it should be a convincing win.
Yes, yes.
I do want to quickly, before we go into everybody's favorite segment of the week, share a story from a former walk-on, one of the boys. This was a cold ass picture.
Oh, this was cool.
Rookie and the vet.
Love this, yeah.
Jack Kerner, for anyone who's interested in seeing it, go to the YouTube edition of this podcast. And by the way,
or just
watching
go to his
YouTube,
Instagram.
Or go to his Instagram, Jack_Kerner28. One of the coolest pictures I've seen, even though we were getting our ass beat, and he titled it Rookie in the Vet, and it's pretty fucking sick.
I don't know if you saw, Jack's got the red hat on the sidelines. He's helping calling the plays now.
Yeah, he does. Pretty cool. Got a headset and everything.
If you're watching on YouTube, by the way, give us a like. Helps us out. That brings us to like and subscribe, hit the button, fucking ring the bell, all the shit.
DJ Kevin. Yeah. All
I do is win, 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 no matter. 2-1, 1-1, 1, no matter what. Kevin
last
fucking
week was 0-2-1, which is a type of 2-1, but not a good 2-1.
Nonetheless.
Yeah, all right. Let's try to bounce back this week.
Let's do it.
Starting off, we got Nebraska, Michigan, over under totals at 39. Nebraska actually has a pretty solid defense this year. Very good at stopping the run. Michigan has a great defense, even better at stopping your run. Guess what? Nebraska can't throw the ball. They can only run the ball. This tells me that there will be almost no points scored in this game by Nebraska and not a lot scored by Michigan. Give me the under on 39. Next game, Penn State is 4-0 versus the spread. They go to Evanston to play Northwestern, and I think they will win by more than 4 touchdowns. Give me Penn State minus 27 because Northwestern does not have a good defense. They just gave up 30-something to Minnesota, and I don't think they'll put up 30 against Penn State's defense like they did versus Minnesota. So Penn State minus 27. Illinois-Purdue, under 54. Don't have anything more to say about it. It's just going to go under 54.
There we go. Noted. I'll start with that Illinois-Purdue game. Going to be one of my picks as well.
It's a pick 'em.
It is a pick 'em, and I'm picking Illinois. I don't see, you know, that's it's not a fun pick.
G-Bone is for sure going the other way with that bet,
and that's cool. That's awesome. I love if G-Bone goes the other way. That creates.
I've been wrong before.
Certainly, and so have I. Right? There's room to be wrong.
I'm wrong all the time.
Sure.
About 50% of this time on this podcast.
Yeah. Take me to where'd it go?
Take me to church.
how great is Hozier?
Take me to
time out to talk about how good Hozier is, right?
Take me to Texas.
That tiny desk he did with NPR. Unbelievable.
Kansas at Texas. Grant and several others have been talking about Texas, saying they might be back. Mitch, you'll hear in a second, says Texas is back. Give me Texas minus 16.5 on the Betfred.
Kansas is kind of back too. They're a good football team.
They're more back than they have been, but I'm going to take Texas
minus,
there. What,
minus 16.5?
16.5. I'm seeing it on the Betfred Iowa app.
Go ahead.
And then this Iowa Michigan State game. I'm going to bet it until it burns me 2 weeks in a row. It's 36.5. I'm seeing. Give me the under.
That's so few points.
Give me the under. You know.
Picking the
and
the
I'm
Iowa
looking
under
for a,
again.
Yeah, and I'm looking for a huge day to the Iowa defense. I could see this one going like 17-3, 24-7, something like that. So those are my three picks.
Under for the what is this fifth time this year? Fourth
correct.
Time?
Correct. It's 3-1, by the way.
They're just always pushing the envelope, aren't you over there?
I'm really trying to find some different shit to bet on, yeah, but I just can't.
Yeah, no, it's okay. There's no rules.
You're up. You're up.
I will go first to Friday night. I like the North Carolina State Wolfpack at plus 3.5 versus Louisville. I think I'm not convinced of what Jeff Brohm is doing over there in Louisville yet. They were very hyped up this year because of their easy schedule and a lot of transfer portal stuff. But I think North Carolina State is a better team. The people think they are struggled against Virginia last week, but I think that it's still okay. And then also Louisville has Notre Dame next week. I know that you guys say that look ahead games aren't real, and I think your guys' logic makes sense. But my counterpoint to that would be, why do they always happen? So I am picking North Carolina State plus 3. Okay. Also, fun fact about North Carolina State, one of 11 teams in FBS to have a mascot that does not end in the letter S. Fun fact.
Stanford Cardinal.
That's in one of them. I also like Ole Miss plus 2.5 versus LSU. I'm not convinced that LSU is as good as they are in the rankings yet. I also don't think Ole Miss is either. I don't think any team in the SEC besides Georgia, and even Georgia sometimes is that good. So at home, I'm going to take Ole Miss. And then my last pick, I'm going to take Duke plus six against Notre Dame. I still think Notre Dame is very good. And I could see this game being like Duke covers, loses close. I really like what Duke's doing right now. I really like Mike Elko as a coach. I think his phone is going to be ringing like crazy for some of these teams that need a new coach. And they should be calling him. He's doing a great job over there. So you're those hoping, are my three picks.
You're hoping the Fighting Irish put 10 on the field again.
That would be very nice. I'm sure that I think that they'll get that figured out. I'm sure that they've watched the film of that last play against Ohio State more than once this week, and they'll be like, hey, that's not enough guys on the field. We should plan on getting more out there. But this is more like this is more that I'm betting for Duke than I am betting against.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I just really like what Duke's doing right now, so I'm going to take down that plus.
I love
to the Dukies, even though you hate Duke basketball, don't you, Grant?
I do, and I will say this.
So how about you stop betting on the Dukies, because that feels like bullshit.
Well, this is not a basketball game. True.
I don't care.
Grant the intern and confirmed huge Grayson Allen guy.
Also not true. Second of all, I will say it is not nearly as fun to hate on Duke basketball anymore now that Coach K is not there. I did not have as much fun this past year doing that. But Drake, I can still pick Duke.
Are there any fun punch people in the face bets this week?
I guess there's no UFC on this weekend. G-Bone just let me know that, so I got nothing for you.
Damn. All right. Well, you guys are going to slip into a little Betfred-supported segment to end the show here. Betfred Iowa app. Download it today. Make your bets. They're the bonus king. Give you some money back on some of your bets. The initial goings, if you're losing, if you're having trouble picking winners. Shout out to Betfred for sponsoring the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. We need to talk about an Iowa win on Monday. If we are not talking about an Iowa win on Monday, we might not be talking at all. We'll leave it there. We'll see you then. Peace. All right, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, hopefully we didn't just make some ass picks in the awards winner segment, the second part of the awards winner segment today with our Betfred representative. We've got Mitch today. Mitch, not unfamiliar to the show. He was at the live event at Back Pocket. Welcome back to the podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Also, for those watching this segment, if it doesn't go on YouTube, his name on the Zoom is Kirk Cousins, which is cool. You make any money on Kirko this weekend? They're 0-3. They're struggling.
Yeah, I lost a lot of money. Not going to lie. Yeah. Lost a bad day yesterday. I had a Jefferson anytime touchdown, so that saved part of it. But yeah, it was a bad day.
I saw a crazy stat before we get into these games here that Kirk is on pace for like 61 touchdowns, 6,000 yards, and 0-17.
Yeah, we have the league-leading QB, the league-leading wide receiver, the league-leading defensive end in sacks, and we're 0-3. So not much to go for it.
That's so sad.
Sounds like the Vikings.
Yeah, that's the Minnesota fan. That's just how it is.
Tough weekend for both of you guys. Grant, a Broncos fan. I don't know if you knew that, Mitch.
Might be worse. You might have had a worse weekend.
Hey, yeah, it wasn't ideal. At least it was a quick death. I didn't have to get my hopes up. It was quick. It was, I knew we were out of it early.
Yeah, that's better sometimes.
Mitch, we've got you on here quick to go over a few games. We're going to talk. I mean, we just wrapped up the Penn State game. It wasn't good, clearly. The minus two touchdowns was at this point looked like a great line if you're a Penn State bettor. I find it really interesting. We've got Iowa as our last game we're going to talk about for this little segment here, and they're damn near minus two touchdowns against Michigan State. So I'm interested to hear what you and Grant both have for thoughts there. Let's quickly start. And I want to keep this segment based around some of the games that are more entertaining for the weekend. And I know I didn't put this one down for either of you, but I feel like we have to talk about them every week. Colorado and USC are going to play each other this week. A similar matchup to the Oregon, Colorado that just happened. Although Colorado now goes back home. I believe this is at home for the Buffs, but the line is the same, three touchdowns. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Mitch, why don't you go first?
Yeah, there's going to be points. It's going to be a lot of points. Okay. And not defense. But no, three touchdowns with, I mean, USC is kind of one of those teams that I also think is fraudulent. And Oregon.
Really?
Yeah, and Oregon's not. Oregon, I knew was gonna. I couldn't bet it because it's like, how do you bet plus 21.5 with Deion?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not bet that? But how do you also is the most trap bet ever. It was kind of when they played Nebraska. I was like, I'm not taking Colorado. That's a trap. And yeah. It was. They won that one. But yeah, no, I think they cover that number. There's gonna be a lot of points. But I mean, no Travis Hunter. They looked pathetic. So tough. I think people kind of start fading them. We'll see. But yeah, I think USC is also one of the fraudulent teams out there.
Grant?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think USC definitely has some issues, and mainly on defense. Like, they, when you look at Colorado, right, they could definitely score, and it's going to help a little bit with the way USC plays ball in the fraudulent thing. Like, I think Alex Grinch, their defensive coordinator, is personally going to stop Caleb Williams from winning the Heisman because the defense is going to let them down. And they're probably going to lose games that they shouldn't be losing. 25 is huge. Like, I think USC is going to walk in this game, like, pretty easily, but 25 is pretty big. Like, and with no defense, like, I kind of struggle laying a huge number like that. So, like, I kind of lean Colorado a little bit, but, like, you could wake up, this is 40-0 at halftime as well.
And I think I think there's zero chance Colorado wins that game, but I also think there's a slim chance USC's covering that many points.
Yeah. It's a lot of points. I do think the Deion craze, the shine got wiped off a little bit this weekend. I think it would be interesting to go in and see the stats on the Buffalo games moving forward, because I think now people are finally like, oh, they're not going to go undefeated. Okay, we can actually bet on the other teams. Cool, love that. Ranked matchup, a few of ranked matchups this week. We've got Kansas, Texas. I know, Grant, you just came out with your walk on top 25. You've got Kansas in there in the 23 spot, I believe, or somewhere around
there. I do, yes. I have them in my top 25.
How do you think they fare against Texas? I'm seeing minus 17 against the Longhorns this weekend.
I think Kansas, I think, is a dramatically improved program. Like, they've been 4-0 to start off both years. I think Lance Leipold, his phone is going to be blowing up every single offseason. I think, like, he's in the Mike Elko kind of area where it's like took over a bad program and has made vast improvements. But, like, Texas, I personally think is I don't think Georgia should not be the number one team until they lose, right? If you win back-to-back national championships. But, like, I think Texas is the most impressive team as of right now. I don't really, like, I think Kansas is good, but, like, I don't want to jump in front of Texas at all, especially at home. I don't really want to get in the way of them. I was looking at the total. I think it's 62. I could see it being fairly high scoring. Kansas's best piece is definitely their offense. And even if they get totally walked, like, if it's like 40-20, you get pretty close. I think Texas is going to have a pretty easy time scoring. And Kansas is good enough to put up some points, but their defense isn't very good.
Yeah, That's kind of just a stay away game for me. I think Texas is back, but Kansas is they're a good team. Like Grant said, they're not going to just roll over. 17 points is a lot. If I had to make a guess, I would lean Texas to cover that number, but it's definitely just a stay away game. Texas is the real deal this year. Well, it's interesting. It's good that they're finally back. Hopefully.
I was just going to say, Mitch has thrown out that buzz term. Texas is back. We've heard that a lot over the past few years. So maybe it's for real. How about Ole Miss LSU, a little SEC battle? Grant, LSU, a team that you were talking about before we started this season, and how do you feel about them now?
Pretty much the same. I mean, I still don't think they're as good as they kind of got hyped up to be. Like, I think a lot of it is still weight coming over from last year. I get, like, losing FSU isn't the worst thing ever. They're a really good team, but I like Ole Miss here, and I don't think Ole Miss is that good either. I think that pretty much the whole SEC is a little down this year. I don't think any of these teams are as amazing as they have been in the past decade. But Ole Miss at home here, I just like it. I think everyone's going to jump on LSU here after Ole Miss last weekend, and LSU's kind of getting more momentum. So I'm going to go with Lane Kiffin.
I mean, that's also just a game I just won't touch. There's just zero shot on touching any of that. If I had a lean, it'd be LSU, but no, that's not anything I want to touch.
I see Notre Dame after I'm sad I didn't get to watch any of this game, the Notre Dame Ohio State game from this past weekend. I see Notre Dame minus 5.5 against Duke this weekend. Are the Blue Devils for real?
What's your definition of for real?
Yeah.
Can they compete? Can they win this game against Notre Dame?
I would lean towards the no. I think this is a perfect bounce back spot to back Notre Dame after a heartbreaking. I'm a Buckeye fan, so I was watching both games side by side. So it was watching Iowa was heartbreaking. Ohio State was electric.
Yeah.
Both failed to cover the numbers. So at the same time, it didn't really matter. It was nice to see him win. But no, I think this is a Notre Dame route.
A route. Okay. Yeah, I think, to be honest, Mitch, I kind of agree. This is a spot where like Notre Dame's pissed and they're like, we need to. And
they'll be very public, though. I think it'll be a very public team to back.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Grant, thoughts on that?
I will say, I think Notre Dame still is a very good national title contender team. Like, I don't think losing to Ohio State is a big deal. But like True. I said earlier, I think Mike Elko is one of the best coaches in the country right now. Like, what he's doing is awesome. I talked about before the season, he's still doing it right now. I think this is a situation where, like, at 5.5, like, I think Duke could, like, cover it and still lose maybe, like, a last-second field goal situation. I just, like, if I can get 5 with Duke at home, I'll take it. Like, I know it's not like no one's ever like, oh, we're going into Duke, like, scary environment or whatever, but it's still about being at home and with the improved team. I like it there.
Okay. Finally, we'll talk the Hawks coming off a massive loss. Just an absolute, I've actually been in this situation myself. We got absolutely curb stomped in 2016. It arguably maybe could be what set up that 2000. Or was it 2017? Nope, 2016. The next week, we come back to Kinnick, night game, top 5 Michigan team, and we win. Last second field goal. I think we were 24-point underdogs, something weird like that. Hawks are not an underdog because they're playing a Michigan State team that is struggling program-wise, football-wise. After watching the Hawks this weekend, 11.5 seems so big. I'm a little scared of it. What do you guys think about this?
I was on the Hawks big for plus 14.5, and I was on them big this past week. Their team total 11.5. I was like, I'll take it. Like, they're going to score. So that first quarter fumble kind of – you can't win the game in the first quarter, but, I mean, you sure can make it pretty hard to come back from. I mean, that fumble killed everything that was going for that game. But no, I'm laying the number with the Hawks again. I'm excited to be in Kinnick.
Hey.
This will be my game. Yep. Oh. So Kinnick, excited to go to that. Should be electric. I think Michigan State, I just bet on them this past week against Maryland. Not sure what the final was. I know they didn't cover
31-9.
Yeah, they didn't cover 7.5. They looked pathetic. The line, I'm not sure it opened up at, but my buddy texted me, he got it at 7. So he got, it was at 7, and now it's all the way up to what, 11.5, 12, yeah, someplace?
11.5.
I think that number is going to jump up to 13.5, 14 by kickoff on Saturday. So, but I'm still going to lay it. I'll probably get it in after this podcast before that number jumps even.
I might have to go do that as well. Grant, your thoughts finally on the Hawks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a good spot for Iowa to kind of get back on track. I mean, I know Iowa might be a gross team to lay a double-digit number with right now, but like also, I mean, I don't, like, I can't stomach the, I don't know how you could stomach at all doing anything with Michigan State right now. I had them against Maryland and I just felt like a total idiot the whole time. It was never even close. So I like, it could just be a homer thing, but I like Iowa here. I also feel like too, with the D'Antoni situation, him joining there, maybe Kirk is a little bit like, oh, kind of like revenge factor. Like I can get another shot at taking this guy down. Like I wasn't as motivated to run up the score against Michigan State before. Now I want to show him what's up.
Could be. This feels like to me, Iowa State goes to Ohio. I mean, they don't get blown out by Ohio, but they ugly loss at Ohio. They come back, they handle Oklahoma State, who's arguably a better team or should be a better team. They're in a Power 5 conference. Iowa goes to Penn State, ugly loss. Now they come back. We talked about it on the podcast last night, Grant, how Iowa's just simply not going to be in a game for the rest of the season like they were this past weekend. They're going to look like they can actually play football. I think they cover 11.5. Two touchdowns starts to push it for me, but I think they can cover 11.5. I think I'm going to be on the Hawks as well. There we go. Mitch, thank you for joining us for the quick spot segment this week, filling in for Jason. We might have Jason some weeks. We might have Mitch. Either way, they give us great content. Shout out to Betfred for sponsoring the podcast and Ward's winner specifically. Betfred Bonus King. Download the Betfred Iowa app today. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.